Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is the CEO of American Airlines, Robert Isom, after the mid-air collision just off the runway and above the Potomac River in our nation's capital, Ronald Reagan Airport. As you heard Pat Sepdak talk about in the news, an American Airlines jet operated by PSA with 60 passengers, 4 crew members on board, colliding about 300 feet above the river with a Black Hawk military helicopter with 3 on board. We're joined by our state senator, Jay Costa. First, Jay, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Larry.
Tough to hear this. I know, obviously, you have been to Washington many times.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since we've had a commercial airline collision, and you'd have to go back to 2009. But all the same, I certainly feel for everyone involved.
We'll certainly do, and our hearts go out to the families of everyone involved. And you're right, this has not happened in a number of years of this magnitude, and it just goes to show you that how important the proper training for folks and everything else is going forward to avoid these type of situations that occur. We don't know what caused the collision at this point, but at the end of the day, we're grateful that we're able to wake up every day and be thankful for that. But our hearts go out to all the individuals who are lost, and hopefully there'll be some recoveries as we go forward.
And we'll continue to bring news throughout the morning and throughout the day as necessary. That said, Senator, we really wanted to speak to you about the situation we're in, where the executive orders coming out of the Oval Office with President Donald Trump, they've come in waves, and they have an impact on the states, obviously, all of the states. So we had this pause on federal grants and loans, then that was paused by a federal judge, and then yesterday Donald Trump retracted that, but it has a ripple effect, too, on how everyone's going to deal with these things as they come along. So you're in a unique position as a leader in this state to kind of deal with it, and I think a lot of people are kind of wondering what's next.
Well, Larry, that's a great question. There's been a lot of chaos and confusion that's come out of the executive orders and more recently this memorandum with regard to federal spending. And it caught a lot of people by surprise, the magnitude and the scope of it. I think it appears now that it was not well thought out in terms of how it was drafted and sent to folks, creating tremendous confusion in terms of, as I mentioned, the scope of impact. And I think now we're in a position where, although the president has repealed the memorandum, the executive orders still stay in place. A number of them are impacting what we do and go forward with respect to many aspects of governance and the like. But the biggest one right now is the uncertainty of what's next, as you indicated. You know, next week, next Tuesday, Governor Shapiro is going to be making his budget address. And the budget address is typically broken into two parts. There's state spending and federal state revenue and federal revenue that comes into our state budget for a total of about, you know, $92 or $93 billion. Although we are at a pause right now with respect to the memorandum, there's no doubt that the president intends to revisit this subject. And to the governor's point, what type of budget does he put forward on Tuesday now that it's been upended in that regard? The thing that bothers me the most is that the approach that the administration has taken, both with the executive orders and also with these memorandums, that they push the envelope up to the edge. And I think that's concerning, because what we understand now, there's an additional memo that essentially said that we need to push the envelope as far as we can. and then let's let the courts decide what we can and can't do. Almost as if they're utilizing this process is going to impact many, many people for many weeks and months, and then create this uncertainty to find out what the scope of the executive authority is going to be with respect to appropriating and setting up programs and the like. And that's the part that worries me. I think I got to believe that there's got to be a better way to try to allow the president the opportunity to do an assessment of programs that he may not necessarily agree with, but there's a better way to do it as opposed to shutting everything off. And it has implications on human service programs, implications on research stuff that takes place. And, you know, we do a tremendous amount of research in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County on economic development. Two major developments that I'm involved with in relating to manufacturing are on hold, and no one knows what the status is going to be. Combined, probably, you know, 1,700 jobs will be coming to Allegheny County. Those are the type of impacts that we're seeing and not knowing what the future is going to look like.
We're with Pennsylvania State Senator Jay Costa. Senator, also, state by state, there is a lot being asked of the federal government for future decisions. One of those is, how are we handling, and I think everybody agrees, as far as the border issues, that something had to be done. But where do you stand when it comes to ICE and the immigration and deportation that's going on?
Well, I certainly think that steps needed to be taken at the border to better rein in the flow of immigrants coming into this country. With respect to the activities of ICE, I think that they have impacted a number of communities around the Commonwealth. I do think that my hope is, and what I understand is, that they're chasing and apprehending the most violent individuals who have come here that they know of. But I also get spattering of incidences that are brought to our attention where folks who have not been what I would say violent offenders in any way are also being asked to leave. Folks who have been here for decades and decades. And that's the part that concerns me. I guess I would say it's appropriate to deport the folks who have committed aggressive, violent crimes against people here in our country or came here with those type of backgrounds. But the question becomes, to what degree are we going to be rounding up people just for the sake of rounding them up with maybe minor offenses or no offenses at all? That's the part that concerns me the most. So I recognize that it's uncomfortable for a lot of folks, but again, in the community, the immigrant community across this Commonwealth, and folks I'm hearing from are very concerned about the scope of what's being done and who they're targeting. It leads to a situation where folks who have uncertainty and could be perfectly legal residents here and working and doing everything else, afraid to go shopping, afraid to report incidents that may have happened to them, afraid to come out of their homes because they don't know what's happening. That's the chilling effect that this activity has had, and that's unfortunate. So I think we just got to be certain that this is a very narrow, limited deportation of violent individuals that we know conclusively are in that space. That's probably how I see it at this moment in time.
And, Senator, I know you're trying to work hard from a bipartisan standpoint within the state to try to get things done for everybody. And I'm just curious what you're hearing from your Republican colleagues about these items.
I think there's a somewhat difference of opinion with respect to some of the things we talked about at the beginning of the program here. But I do think on the immigration stuff, I think that there's probably some level of consensus. I can't say exactly where it's at about, you know, border controls and the like. But I also think that some folks agree with me, I think, on both sides, that it needs to be limited, needs to be targeted along those lines with respect to apprehension.
A little civics question for me. The federal government, Congress by and large, controls the purse strings of the country. Is that correct?
That is correct. And they set the parameters with respect to that, yes.
So everything that is being spent from a federal standpoint is been approved by Congress at some point.
That is correct.
And then these executive orders, I guess, as you said, the pause on the grants and loans from a federal level have now been retracted for the moment, but we don't know what's coming next.
That's correct. And I think there's a distinction, as I understand it, between the executive orders and then a memorandum from a budget office. And I think more specifically, the budget office is the one that issued a memorandum that halted all the spending and loans. And I think that's, and it goes back to the point I raised earlier about how they're utilizing this process to test the bounds of presidential authority or congressional authority. And I think that's what is going to ultimately make their way to the courts. I mean, there's a memorandum, as I understand it, that says specifically we need to do this and let the courts decide, essentially. And I think that's where we're headed. So this is a continuation of those conversations, similar to what occurred with respect to the immunity issue that we saw many months ago. This, I think, is another instance where they're trying to expand, I would say, the scope of the presidential authority with respect to overriding some of the decisions of Congress.
Well, Tuesday, as you mentioned, Governor Josh Shapiro will present his budget. But one of the things that anybody putting a budget together, you have the known quantities, how much money's coming in. And I guess there is a question mark when that comes to what's coming from the federal government. So we'll see.
Yep.
Senator, thank you. Really appreciate your time this morning.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good day.
Pennsylvania State Senator Jay Costa on the Big K Morning Show.